This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel. Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Trey Jenko? First, I'll look at the background of this case, including the timeline of the crime, and offer my analysis. Trey Jenko and his mother moved from California to Hillsborough, Ohio in 2018. Trey identified as an incel, which stands for involuntary celibate. This term refers to a person, almost always a man, who is unable to find a woman who will have sex with him. Trey maintained multiple profiles on a website where many incels posted. He was quite active making posts. Trey sometimes referred to the self-identified incel Elliot Roger, who on May 23, 2014, murdered 6 people and injured 14 others in a mass shooting in California. For example, one time, Trey posted that he sprayed women with a water gun filled with orange juice, which is something that Elliot Roger had done. Trey did this on Elliot Roger's birthday and felt spiritually connected to him. In January of 2019, Trey purchased a number of items, including a bulletproof vest, a knife, a skull face mask, tactical gloves, and a hoodie bearing the word revenge. The next month, he purchased a rifle. In May 2019, he purchased magazines for a Glock 17 semi-automatic pistol. A few months later, Trey wrote a note where he referenced getting a kill count of 3,000 and made a reference to May 23, 2020, which was exactly 6 years after Elliot Roger perpetrated his attack in California. On August 3, 2019, Trey posted a manifesto he titled A Hideous Symphony. In this document, he talked about preparing to go into the army. He suggested that he was training to accomplish a goal of murdering women. He said that he would slaughter out of hatred, jealousy, and revenge. He would take away the power of life that they withheld from him. Trey referred to death as the great equalizer. That same day, Trey searched online for sororities at a university in Ohio. Trey made other searches that month as well, including Elliot Roger, how many days until May 23, homemade flashbang, and difference between full auto and semi-auto. Trey entered into the Army and attended basic training, but was discharged in December of 2019. He returned to Ohio in January of 2020. Trey created a document on his computer, which he titled Isolated. In the document, he wrote, "If you're reading this, I've done something horrible." He went on to congratulate the reader for exploring such a dark topic. He signed the document, "Your hopeful friend and murderer." Sometime around January 15, 2020, Trey conducted surveillance at that university in Ohio, which he had searched 4 months earlier. That same day, he searched terms online like planning a shooting crime and when does preparing for a crime become an attempt. Sometime around March 11, 2020, Trey searched for police scanner codes. The next day, March 12, the police responded to the house that Trey shared with his mother after his mother called 911. She indicated that they had been in an argument when Trey started to, quote, rage out, unquote. He went into his bedroom and she could hear him chambering around in a firearm. Trey's mother told the operator that his temper had been getting worse. Trey was taken into custody. In the trunk of his vehicle, the police found a rifle with a bump stock attached to it. In a heating vent in his room, they found a 9mm semi-automatic pistol. The serial number had been removed. Federal authorities became involved in the investigation. Trey was charged with attempt to commit a hate crime and unlawful possession of a machine gun. The machine gun charge was because the ATF tested Trey's weapons and found that the pistol had been modified so it would fire 2 rounds with a single pull of the trigger. On October 11, 2022, Trey Jenko pleaded guilty to attempting to commit a hate crime. He is facing up to life in prison.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, podcast listeners. I'm Carol Costello, a former CNN anchor and national correspondent. This January, I'm launching a podcast about one of the first cases I ever covered as a journalist. It's one that stuck with me all of these years, the one that buried itself under my skin and stayed put. It's a true crime series about an amazing woman named Phyllis Cottle, who defied torture and death and brought a fierce rage to the quest to find her attacker. Carol Costello Presents Blind Rage. It's a production of Evergreen Podcasts and signature title of the Killer Podcast Network. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Discover more great true crime and paranormal programming at killerpodcast.com.
Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one, it doesn't appear as though Trey really understood the severity of the crime that he was committing by planning the shooting. For example, on the day that Trey was arrested, he gave the police permission to search his vehicle and his bedroom. Trey must have realized what they would find and how that wouldn't look too good for him. Maybe he believed that they wouldn't find the pistol because he placed it in the vent, but the rifle was sitting right in his trunk. There was no way the police were going to miss that. Trey's mother was shocked when the police found the rifle in the trunk of Trey's car. Trey responded to his mother's concern by acting like having the gun was no big deal. Item number two, it appears as though Trey's behavior deteriorated in a way that his mother noticed. Trey's mother said that over the last several months, his behavior was out of control, erratic, and not like him. She was concerned about what he was up to. Ever since he was discharged from the military, he was a very different person who was agitated and doing things that were out of character. On one occasion, he traveled to Greece for 10 days, despite having no reason to go, like he didn't know anybody there. He didn't tell his mother why he went. At one point, Trey's mother discovered a firearm in her vehicle. When she asked Trey about it, he told her it was none of her business and not to worry about it. Item number three, through his posts on a website popular with incels, Trey made it seem as though he was going into the military to receive special training so he could more effectively kill women. In reality, his mother forced him to enlist because he wasn't working or doing anything with his life. Trey didn't have a job or any direction, and his mother thought that would give him a sense of purpose. I guess Trey didn't think it was cool to tell people they joined the army because his mother forced him to. He believed it was more glamorous to be thought of as a killer in training. I find it curious that Trey's mother is also the one who put him in prison. I'm sure Trey will tell his fellow inmates that he was sentenced to prison for fighting off hundreds of heavily armed federal agents in a standoff that lasted for weeks. Item number four, in looking at the statement released by the government about this case, one is left with the impression that highly trained government agents uncovered this particular mass shooting plan using their incredible investigative skills. From what I can tell, it appears as though the plot was only discovered because Trey's mother called 911 due to his erratic behavior. I don't know if Trey would have followed through with this plan or not, but he was far from a master criminal. He planned to kill 3,000 women to get revenge for his lack of romantic prospects, but couldn't even make it past his mother calling the local police. Item number five, why are some men unable to find romantic partners? Throughout human history, the inability to obtain sex is a condition which has been experienced by a number of men and women, although it more frequently affects men. Parental investment theory argues that women have to invest more in parenting than men to achieve successful reproduction. This means that having sex with low-quality mates is costlier for women. The theory argues that women are motivated to be more selective, which means that there will always be a number of men who have restricted or no opportunities for sex with women. It just comes down to math. From the man's perspective, This creates something referred to as unwanted celibacy. Research has repeatedly shown that men have stronger sexual desire than women, and the desire is in excess of their actual sexual behavior. So unwanted celibacy is something that men would really notice. They consider it to have a major impact on their lives. Unwanted celibacy in men has been associated with discontentment. For example, it can lead to feelings of sadness, frustration, anger, and dissatisfaction. Item number 6, it has been theorized that unwanted celibacy contributes to men having negative attitudes toward women. This is similar to research findings which show how men who are rejected sometimes develop acrimonious feelings toward women. When a man is repeatedly rejected, he may try to explain the rejections by assigning negative characteristics to the entire group of people who are rejecting him. It's no longer about individual interactions which did not result in sex. Rather, he makes it about some larger problem. It's some type of problem with society or with an entire gender. The man's unwanted celibacy may exist because of physical or mental factors. It may be the result of personality characteristics or any number of other problems, but the man decides to blame women for the unwanted celibacy. This is a way for him to shift responsibility away from himself. Item number 7, if unwanted celibacy leads to hostile attitudes toward women, how powerful is this association? Put another way, is unwanted celibacy really a strong predictor of the hostility? To answer this question, we have to look at the contribution of personality. We know, for instance, that certain scores on the 5-factor personality profile are associated with unwanted celibacy, specifically low extroversion and high neuroticism. Hostile attitudes toward women are connected with low openness to experience and low agreeableness. So we see that different personality traits are connected to each construct. This makes it seem as though unwanted celibacy is associated with a hostile attitude toward women, even if personality is factored out. That is, even if one statistically controls for the effect of personality. Research findings indicate that this is true. Unwanted celibacy is associated with a hostile attitude toward women, even when controlling for personality. The effect size is somewhere between 18 and 30%, which means that 18 to 30% of hostile attitudes toward women can be explained by unwanted celibacy. Here's another way to think about this statistic. Sometimes people look at men who have negative attitudes of women and think that the men must feel that way because they don't have access to sex. Well, that's 18 to 30% true. Effect size is similar to other known contributors to misogynistic attitudes, like one's orientation towards social dominance, right-wing authoritarianism, and personality. Item number 8, if unwanted celibacy contributes to hostile attitudes toward women, does it also explain the violence similar to the plan we see in the case of Trajenko? According to research, unwanted celibacy is not associated with violence or intent to commit violence. This tells us that when incels become violent or plan to commit violence, additional factors must be involved. Simply being unable to access a romantic partner or sex does not explain the violence. Perhaps the unwanted celibacy contributes to men getting online and trying to learn more about what's going on. By doing this, they are introduced to violent ideas, almost like they become radicalized. Maybe some incels would have been violent regardless of their incel status. The unwanted celibacy simply gives them an excuse to act on the tendencies which they already possessed. Now moving to my final thoughts. Unwanted celibacy is a reality for millions of men. It leads to discontentment for many, and for some, misery. Some of the factors that contribute to this condition are unavoidable, but others can be improved, like having social skills or having a productive career. Perhaps incels who find themselves drawn to violence should consider personal improvement instead. Hurting people is never the answer. Plus, personal improvement is associated with a lot less time in prison.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars longa, vita brevis.
Hey, podcast listeners, I'm Paul Brandis introducing my podcast, Countdown to Dallas. It's a fascinating, in-depth look at the seemingly unconnected events that led to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's based on my book of the same title. In that book and in this podcast, I go all the way back to 1939, when Lee Harvey Oswald was born into a troubled and dysfunctional family. I'll follow his transient and often violent teenage years and young adulthood, painting a fuller picture of the man who would later become Kennedy's killer. I also take a look at events unfolding in that era, like Cuba and Vietnam, and I'll unpack the conspiracy theories too, not one of which has ever been conclusively proven. Subscribe to Countdown to Dallas at evergreenpodcasts.com or your favorite listening app, October 31st.